Blog Hello. Talk Radio.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. This is Catherine Creston with Beyond Words Live. This show is designed to be a platform for survivors to tell their story in their own words. Without further ado, let's see who our guest is today.
And today we are following up with a series that I've been doing this month on women's rights activists. And today I have Melissa, who comes forth today talking about what brought her into the passion for activism for women's rights, what she's done with that time frame, and what her hopes are for the future. Hello, let me bring her back online. Melissa, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
All of our listeners.
Yes. Are you warm over there?
Yes, I am. I'm keeping warm, staying inside, making sure all the other kitties outside also have a little bed that I put out there for them as well.
Oh, my gosh. That's cute. Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot better today. Well, and I'm glad you're feeling a lot better, and especially coming up closer to rally time. That's you have to have that voice. But let's start with what inspired you to get involved with any form of activism. How did you get involved with that kind of process?
Well, the first thing was I was able to go to college. college gave me kind of it was the gateway for me to feel like what things I was thinking on my own were validated. Mm-hmm. And it gave me the confidence to be able to put all of my thoughts out there to other people who I felt were interested in what I had to say, and it helped me to outline what I wanted to say in a way that was seemed to be effective, and it gave me the confidence that way. After college, or during college, I started to learn about the different political issues that are going on. I happen to be Hispanic. I identify with Hispanic, being a Hispanic woman, and that is important to me because I was looking in my academic experience at all of the other wonderful pioneering women, and I didn't see much being said about Hispanic women. And when I was looking for that, I was clearly just thinking, okay, well, how am I going to rectify this by on my own looking at different books and looking at actually even different professors, tenured professors and professors in STEM-related career fields and so on. So I saw a shortage at that point of the voice of women at that time in academia. Well, then, lo and behold, 2013 happens and the filibuster, Wendy Davis filibuster, is going on. And like I said, I was already slowly getting into this lack of women's voice in academia. So I was already syncing up with these women groups on social media. Well, then I started to hear about something going on. Like, are you going? Are you going? I'm like, going where? What's happening?
Right?
And then they're like, oh, click on this link. It's live streaming. Click on it. So I clicked on it. Oh, my gosh. And it was just maybe an hour or two before Letitia Vanderpute said her famous line, you know, how must a female senator raise her voice or her hand to be heard over her male counterparts, basically. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And I was like, oh, hell no, this is exactly what I've been looking at. And she said it in a nutshell. And I got up from that point, and I realized that the very next day, I went to Austin, and I was there for about a few weeks. I thought I was going to be there for a day, and then I met other women that were there that were sharing their stories, I guess, much like what your show is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But while we were standing in line to get into the Senate galleries, one of the most powerful, the second really most powerful thing I experienced was when I was looking down from the Senate gallery and the just sitting down in that area, it reminded me of those old black and white movies where you saw the slaves or the African Americans that were sitting in the upper part and they're looking down and there's like an all white jury and all white, you know, lawyers and judges and everybody, and they're looking down. It's very reminiscent of that visual. The majority were women sitting on the top, looking down at a sea of men that were majority male, that were talking about women's rights issues, in particular reproductive rights. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. This is an experience that I took back to Houston, or brought back to Houston, and which is where I'm calling from. And I immediately, now this is 2013, and I immediately started to find out, because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't even know about, you know, the details about Congress. I mean, we read about it, but it's completely different. I was calling legislators, and like all of the terms were mixed up and confusing to me. And I'd learned that, okay, I need to have a more in-depth conversation and learn more about the system of government and politics. And when I started to try to do that, I learned how late I am. There's so much to learn. And it's not just that I need to learn it, but who do I learn it from? I had no political capital. I barely had academic capital because, you know, I was still in college. And being 41, I'm late to the game. You know, I call myself a late academic bloomer, you know. And that being said, I also call myself a kaleidoscope of nationalities because I'm Spanish, Mexican, Arabian, and American Indian. So I'm basically everything brown.
That's funny.
But so getting to where I am now, that's
all
what
right.
led me here, which is I started to put some ideals together when I was standing in line talking to all the wonderfully powerful women that I did not even know so many of them. I know this sounds awful, but I was thinking of it from the standpoint of when you read a book, you assume that this is old stuff, old history. But a lot of the women that I was talking to in line were the women that were burning their bras. And were the women, and I'm saying, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you helped to start this organization or the League of Women Voters. That started in 1920. And I have a Houston chapter in my area. Oh, my gosh. You know, and then also I started to learn that there is a complete listing, a voter's guide that has the faces of the candidates every election, their names, what they do, what office they're trying to get, a little bit about that office. I'm like, how did I not know about this? So, like I said, I started to realize that progress is a process, and I need to take it one bite at a time. And so I decided that I was going to try to figure out who's closest to me so that they can help me to understand. And believe me, I got a lot of, how old are you? You should know this by now. Or, they should have taught you that in junior high school. And I'm like, okay, well, so what? You know, let's obviously, you know, if there's an issue with our education system, then I fell through the cracks. So why don't you tell me?
Right.
So I started to hold our leaders, people who are seasoned, I started to hold them accountable. You're right, I don't know. So you teach me. Guess what I found out?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know either.
Well, so, and I think the rules change every now and then in the politics. So it's always a new, refreshing game each season, you know, with all the players and
all the antics that are done and everything. It's, you have to stay on top of it to really understand what's going on.
Absolutely. But when we're talking about the system of the way things work, for example, what does a precinct chair do?
Right.
What does a precinct chair do? What is a precinct? How many precincts are in our Senate district, or in the Senate district you live in?
Mm-hmm.
How many Senate districts are in Texas? Those basic things are the things that it's a good place to start. And simply by, how I started was simply by going to my voter ID card and looking at those funky little numbers. One is the precinct number, you know, our Senate district number, our House of Representatives number. I'm like, what are these numbers?
Right.
Yeah, so I did that, and I went to, in my situation, different people that are nonpartisan might be listening to this show, you could go to whatever headquarters. I went to the Democratic headquarters, and I asked them, can you help walk me through what these numbers mean? And they did. And so I learned that in my precinct, there wasn't a precinct chair. It was vacant. So they said they would help me to learn about it. So I filled that spot. So I'm a precinct chair.
Oh,
and remember, this is all within 1 year. So I started to learn that as I'm getting involved in these women's rights organizations or initiatives that deal with women's rights issues, I learned that we women are still learning how to lead.
Mm-hmm.
We're also learning how to lead other women. And I think that's really important because many women are often, and this is like even the hardcore, quote-unquote, feminists, and I do consider myself a feminist, we often get comfortable deferring to boys and men for various reasons. But I think that it's really important from my experience, what I've seen is that for us to be able to gain experience in leadership, especially in women's rights initiatives, we need to practice, use every opportunity we can to practice what our voice is like. And those ideals that come out of speaking and engaging and leading can lead to how we lead. It might be a unique way of leadership that we have not even tapped into yet. So that's one thing, how women lead other women, and also how women follow other women because of the same reason. We're used to deferring to boys and men, so it's easier for many of us to take instruction from boys and men because we're kind of used to it. I mean, most of our households, our households are organized in a way where men are the head of the house, or maybe they're one of the superior leaders in the home, and which is great. They're into the professional world. They're expecting leadership in a different way. So if we are not comfortable with that, we need to use women's rights initiatives and organizations to practice and to develop our own style, our unique perspective of how leadership is. And then also how to lead men. It's difficult and can be very intimidating to speak in front of a guy, especially if he seems like he's very well polished and maybe he seems like he's an expert. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but he appears that way. So it can be a little intimidating. And we should know that the men who have also been groomed, many men, I should say, have also been groomed. It's hard for them to take leadership from women. And it's a process. We've got to take it one bite at a time. So these are some of my observations.
Yeah.
And I guess in activism, one of the things that I guess you will probably be saying at some point that we have the rally going on.
Absolutely.
This month. And one of the things that I was wanting to say and hope that it, is conveyed at the rally is that we women, we must not divide. I think it's important that while many share obvious and non-obvious injustices, We must focus on those injustices that we have in common and tackle those issues together. We must find what those things are together.
Right.
You know, like reproductive rights is a good one. That's a nonpartisan issue. That whether you're what I call them anti-choice, because I do believe that, you know, I'm pro-life. I'm pro-women's life and the life mm-hmm. of a healthy child and so on. But for anti-choicers and pro-choicers, I think it's very important that, you know, we figure out together what is, you know, what we women want to see for that, like what we want the legislation to speak for us and give us the opportunity to make those decisions for ourselves. And it is very complicated.
Absolutely. It is complicated. And I absolutely agree. And I think that, you know, because I lean pro-life, but I also respect the woman who has to make that grueling decision, you know, of what to do with her body. And I feel strongly that we need to have a choice about it and have respect for our own bodies. And other people should, you know, have respect for those people that are trying to make those choices as well. And we're not supposed to have anybody to dictate what we are to do with our own bodies, you know, especially in terms of that. But it, you know, it's just really, you know, a lot of people struggle with it, I know, but it is a right that is being infringed upon, and that's why we're having the rally, you know, why we're focused on the reproductive issues. Mm-hmm. And there are so many other issues that are also infringing on women's rights, you know, that are mm-hmm. not tagged under the abortion, but they're tagged under sexual assault or, you know, all kinds of other things. But we all need to become aware of those, right?
Right. And I think that to not shy away from saying that this is a woman's issue, whatever it is, women's pay, mm-hmm. Equal pay. I think one way to be able to do that, which is what I'm trying to get to, I know I had to come full circle, but basically I believe that in our movement, I believe mm-hmm. that it's true we're unfortunately having to revisit many of the same issues that our mothers and grandmothers dealt with in the 60s, even beyond the 20s.
Right.
When women got the right to vote in the United States. But I believe that, you know, many women and girls seem to be confused about whether or not they need feminism, right? We see that a lot in the memes and such and YouTube. But I believe that we're ready for the next level of a deeper discussion on feminism. I think that's why it seems like we're going in circles. And this is mm-hmm. what I feel like I have to contribute to this conversation, is that we know, I mean, it, in a way, to me, it doesn't matter whether or not we think that we're being, quote, that we're given equal opportunity. Those words seem like old, played out words, I think, to other people who don't get it. I get it. To me, they're not played out words. They're very powerful. But
right.
I think if we dig deeper, and like what's already happening with, I don't know if you've seen it, but manspreading. And then men slamming these words, like manspreading, which is when the conversation talks about how men take up more space because they open their legs, or how they sit kind of takes up a lot of space. Or whether I agree or not, it doesn't matter. But that's going into a deeper discussion. It's how mm-hmm. It gets into actually cultural and traditional values and how we run our home, which is what mm-hmm. I really think that's the most important. It's the root of what is taken out into the professional world. So I think having these deeper discussions on feminism that have to do with whether or not, religion is another one that plays into what we have. So therefore it makes it very complicated when we talk about things about reproductive rights, because I clearly want to respect somebody's religious values. That's the whole point, you know, of having freedom of expression and freedom of religion. It's part of our Constitution, and it should be. And it's the reason many people say in our history books remind us that the United States was created, one of the reasons. And so I think that it's good for us to delve deeper in those ways that can hide themselves under the guise of equality and opportunity, confusing people. Like, let me give you an example. So a young lady who has had an opportunity to go to school, you know, grade school, junior high, I guess, high school, college. She's in STEM-related career fields. She doesn't feel like there's anything wrong. She feels fine. But there are ways that she may or may not be experiencing at that level that are obvious or not obvious, that she just might be used to a lifestyle where she doesn't see that it is, that she is not giving more opportunities in other ways. So we have to explore those things, meaning that, you know, maybe she, like I said, she's gone all the way to college and she's in a STEM-related career field, which is mostly male majority. So she feels like, okay, fine, I'm accepted around a bunch of men. There's nothing wrong here. But only until later will she find out that she's not getting paid as much. Or maybe, but it's going to take her years to figure that out. And then by then, she's already been involved in it. And it just keeps happening over and over again on in different ways. So it's our position to bring those topics to light, because they may not see it until it's too late, and then now they're part of it. And how we do that is to, you know, unlike with my situation, or I guess like my situation where I had to. I actually had somebody tell me yesterday, a woman, very seasoned, pioneering woman. It was from the 70s. She did all of these wonderful things. And I hate to say it, but she said to me, when I said, oh, can you help tell me a little bit about the National Caucus? I didn't even know that existed. The only way I knew that existed was because there is a Black a Legislative Caucus. And I was like, oh, well, maybe there must be a Hispanic one, you know. So when I asked her, she said that all I have to do is keep going to the meeting, to various organizational meetings like I have been, and I will find out for myself. She said that nobody taught her, so she is not going to tell me. She told me that yesterday. Yeah.
How do we educate others if we don't talk about it? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, there are two things that I left because I did think about that really deeply. And I was wondering, why would she say that to me, you know? And I thought, well, one, maybe she doesn't know. This is one of those things that I felt like earlier I was talking about. Sometimes they just don't know. They don't want to say they don't know. There's a little bit of embarrassment. Maybe they forgot. Maybe they don't want to say, I forgot, or, I never knew that, or I always wanted to tackle that, but I never got a chance. Maybe they don't want to say that. So they just tell me, oh, go do it on your own. Or two, maybe they feel that their values tell them, if you really want it, you're going to go and get it, which is good in a lot of ways of, you know, how you can run a professional career. But when we're trying to reach out and warrior for ourselves, we have to understand that when we put on that warrior garb, that and we stand out there in the field of the vulnerable field of justice, okay? We can just say it like that. That we can expect to have arrows thrown at us because we're dressed for it. And we have to be armored by resourcing, by having resources among ourselves. And when we do that, we need to be able to understand that that we have to give some of our arrows sometimes to other people. And we have to say, here, you go out and you've armored yourself. Let me help give you some of this so you can go out and go to the next level.
Absolutely.
And I think that by her telling me to do it on my own, she is, in fact, potentially making me reinvent the wheel. And that's why we can get all of this spread out, you know, and we see it on Facebook or on social media a lot.
Yeah,
there's so many different feminist organizations and causes, and we are scattered. And for us to come together and find out who in our area are the leaders for the Hispanic initiative, for the Black initiative, the Hispanic, non-Hispanic, Black, for, you know, different, and the different categories. I mean, I have a sociology degree, and there are categories that are meant to help with us keeping track and monitoring equality, justice. Because while some people, it's true, I believe that, yes, we should see ourselves as one, but there is a, it is a good, useful tool to figure out how many grants and scholarships are being awarded to Hispanic people? How many grants or scholarships are being awarded to Black people and Asian? We have to make sure and have accountable for equality, and that's one way to do it. So it, with these different organizations and initiatives and these causes, we have to do like the Houston Justice Coalition. They've created a coalition in the Houston area to bring about the voices of different parties and communities and organizations. And that would be like a hub for everybody to get together. I love what they're doing. And but we each have to, whether it's a women's issue or a Latino issue or a Hispanic issue, we have to also have something that we can offer, that we can bring to the table. And that's what I think that we should do. We should, in activism, find out who are the movers and shakers and which areas, which women's groups focus on women's equal pay. Let's all go to that for them. I mean, go to them for that cause, for that initiative. And when we have problems within our circle, among ourselves, let me make sure to say this, please. We, as women and girls, new leaders, new organizers, just coming on the scene, we're not used to, many of us are not used to being in groups like that. And we can come across harsh, just like anybody, but I'm just speaking about women and girls in particular. But we can come across harsh, sensitive, maybe offended. We, many of us have felt like our voices have been stifled for so damn long. And now we've had to get this energy to come up, to be so mad, to finally say something. And then when we do, it might come out wrong. But it doesn't mean we should exclude somebody. We got to know how to bring them in and find a place for them. We can't say, I'm checking you out of this group or out of this list, or I'm not going to invite you to our future events or whatever. We cannot do that. We have to find a way, because all that does is create division, and that's a whole other problem.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the point you were making about essentially not everyone having to start from ground zero is important. You know, that the sharing and collaborating on issues and focuses and methods, you know, mythologies and everything is a win-win situation, you know, because there are too many people scattered about. And if we can bring everybody's voices together, which is what we're trying to do at the rally, is bringing everybody's voices together from all sorts of backgrounds. You know, we're not picking a certain target audience. Our target is everybody. It's all inclusive, and because we want everybody to share their voices and have an opinion on and let people know what those opinions are, the more opinions we can hear, the more we as individuals can formulate what our values are,
you know, we can agree with this and we can agree with that, and we can pick and choose what we agree with and then formulate our own personal values, our own personal perspectives to shoot for. We have had another person on hold. I want to stop real quick and let them ask a question or make a comment real quick. Hang on one second. Caller?
Hi.
Hi, who is this?
Hi, this is Vedita. And I had a few comments to make.
Okay, great.
Definitely. Okay, well, I wanted to start off with a shout out to Melissa Young. She's definitely very inspirational, knowing her personally and following her on Facebook. She's so enlightening. There's always so much information that I pick up from her. And I'd like to learn a little bit more about, other than, reproductive rights, what are some other pressing matters that we should really focus on this year that are, opposing women at this time?
You're asking me? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hi, Vedita.
Hello there.
Well, some of the things that I need to learn. Can you mute? Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so some of the things that, that's a really good question, because I'm in the same boat. I know that last year, like I said, I was doing like a poli-sci 101, government 101, Texas government. Oh, my gosh. It was
right.
So much to learn. I learned about something called the Texas Legislator Online. I'm still learning how to navigate through it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, now that I'm a precinct chair, I'm wanting to reach out to my community, at least start at this level, and is to try to organize some type of instructional, like maybe we all meet, and we get a bunch of people together to kind of have a little training, a basic training on how to navigate through using the Texas Legislator Online. That would be a fun project, even maybe something through leisure learning or maybe an online thing. I don't know. But that would be really good, because I even having a problem navigating through that. Not just women's rights, remember? We also have, like, I have two loves, women's rights and animal rights. So learning about animal rights as well, that could be very beneficial. And there are many women, men, of course, that have other issues like fracking and LGBTQ community issues. I mean, it would be serve us very well to learn how to organize in ways that give us tools so that when we are together, we're not wasting time talking about like saying the same thing over again. We can look, do research ourselves and have more of an in-depth dialogue regarding statutes and laws and legislature and how we can put together our own topics to contribute to that on the political level. So that's anyway, to answer your question about HB2, learning which organizations, like Planned Parenthood, what's happening with Planned Parenthood currently,
right.
I don't know. I mean, I know that there's a lot of controversy, but really, where are they at right now? These various organizations that are discussing these topics, pro-choice. So getting together basically to have these find out the people who are closer to you, and what I would say is, go to the Democratic Party headquarters. That's the first thing, because I don't know. And these people know. They have all the contacts. They have all the links. They have all the different ways to help answer questions. And they will do one-on-one tutorial method with you, whatever, if it's, one-on-one. So that's really good. Basically doing our own research. I know that there's a lot of memes going around which is really a quick way that's an illustration of what's going on in it, like a really quick sentence or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if we could use those memes to maybe attach some type of, use them like for more instructional based. I know that we see some few that have some statistics, mm-hmm. but if we can also put the link of what, where we got those statistics from, that
right.
would be good too, because it was hard for me to do research on what was going on with reproductive rights and what was happening with Planned Parenthood being shut down. I even went to Planned Parenthood and asked them myself, and they thought I was a reporter, but I was saying,
oh, no.
we have to be reporters. We have to say,
right.
how many Planned Parenthoods were there in the state of Texas to begin with? Where,
mm-hmm.
Why are they being shut down? How many are being threatened? Which ones are considered? Like, I didn't know any of these answers, and it was very difficult. Many of the answers, I didn't get answered because people were so confused. Why is she asking us all these questions? And I'm thinking,
right.
why, if I'm supposed to be learning about this, why is it a problem I'm asking you these questions? I'm not picking on
exactly.
my answer, by the way. I'm just saying.
No,
that,
I know. Yeah. And there are a lot of people that are on the defensive about it when
yeah,
it comes
and,
to asking.
And I understand, rightly so. Because there are a lot of people that are out there that are going against our cause and they're playing dirty.
Mm-hmm.
We could say both sides, because I do want to kind of talk about this from, in a way, from a nonpartisan perspective. Because
right.
how can we figure out what are considered women's initiatives if we don't have the platform and the confidence to talk
mm-hmm.
about these things and have the dialogue to say, what does Proposition 1 mean? Like, whenever we're having Proposition 1, 2, and 3 on our elections, how are we supposed to know that we're not the only, I'm not the only one that doesn't understand what that language is? And I'm a paralegal.
Right.
And it's very difficult to understand why they can't, quote unquote, interpret what the meaning is behind the proposition. But
mm-hmm.
you're expecting me to understand it. My being a paralegal that recently graduated from college, when I, before,
right.
there are many people that are not able to have, like I said, political capital or academic capital, they're not going to know what that means either. I've even
right.
had lawyers that are like, I'm really not clear about what this language is. So
exactly.
same thing and giving ourselves the opportunity when we meet to, if we're wanting to reach a new body of people, a new
mm-hmm.
group of people, we can't play the old rule or apply the old rules to a new game, okay?
No.
We have to be able to say, okay, we need different strategies, and we need, you know, I know we've talked a lot about civic engagement and understanding, you know, local
mm-hmm.
levels, like I said, states and Senate districts, what those things are. But also the tools. A lot of people I know do not have access to the internet, which is another
right.
problem. But we
well,
can only start. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, go ahead. Well, what I was thinking too, in a supplementation to what you were saying and answering her question too, was that, you know, we're women. And women can certainly talk to their women folk friends and other friends about what are issues that are important to them. And, you know, reaching out to your friends, not only that your neighbor, but maybe your friends at church or your friends at school or your friends at work or, you know, just friends that you see at the grocery store all the time, or, you know, just everybody, whether locally or your families in rural areas or wherever, just really get out there and talk about these issues. And by talking to each other, we can, you know, pull together a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then meeting with the caucuses and meeting with the, you know, different groups. So in Austin, there's the Women Vote. And, you know, Houston, I'm sure there's a lot of different organizations, and getting involved with them, right?
Speaking,
you know, that's a good starting point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do want to revisit when I was saying earlier, I don't think I made, I hope I made this clear, that it mm-hmm. is very important to me. I am of the position that while I definitely welcome men, of course, because they're other parts of our whole wide world,
right.
But,
right.
But I welcome men to be our allies, but it's very important for me that, for example, women's conferences, allow
mm-hmm.
women to speak at those conferences. This is just my position. I also believe that with women's rights organizations, that I believe that it's very important to have women lead those organizations. I've heard and I've thought very deeply, believe me, about, you know, why do I feel that way? And I look at it like if you look at every single area and do your own research, that's why I think it's so important for us to share links that have to do with the statistics on women in television, cinema, and theater. Those statistics, how many directors are women? How many producers are women? How many screenwriters are women? I mean, we just saw the Golden Globes last night, and they're still commenting on how there's, still, even though there's been progress, that there's and there's more and more roles that are being in favor of women being depicted as heroes and such, we're still at a loss. And so, you know, it's until it's no longer a conversation and the statistics
mm-hmm.
and the numbers start looking
mm-hmm.
differently, we still have a lot of work to do. And there is nothing
Absolutely.
Wrong. There is nothing wrong. Just like there is a LGBTQ issue, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, focus. There's nothing wrong with saying that we have a woman's focus. I have no problem with saying, yes, I'm here for the voice of or to represent, not really represent all women, obviously, because not all women think like I do. But but I mean, even feminists don't think
mm-hmm.
like I do, and you know, we don't share every single idea, but.
Mm-hmm.
I do represent the people who think like me. That's the only thing I could say is that because of that, I want to be able to be present for people who do think like me. And I do believe that women, for that reason, should be the ones that are leading. And because we would be leading those organizations, in fact, it helps the men who are also vying for women in leadership positions.
Mm-hmm.
It helps them to learn how to follow. And if we have men that are contributing, which contributions are great, but for women to lead without the influence or always deferring to men, it helps us to create, like I said, our own voice. And it helps the men to be able to say, okay, I got this. You know, she's got this, you know.
Right.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. We shouldn't fear saying that. That's one thing I've seen, and I hope that if anything comes out of what I'm saying is we shouldn't fear saying I want my sisters to prevail, or I think another woman should be in this spot, or how many board members are women. Well, next time can we try to get a woman on the board? And if they go, well, we're not looking for men or women. We're looking at, I've heard this a lot, who's the best person? And I'm like, yeah, well, if you've got 9 men and 1 woman, we need to equal it out, because you're saying to me that there's only 1 woman out of all the women that you have asked that is good enough, and all those 9 men are better than all the other women that they turned down? Like,
mm-hmm.
I really find that hard to believe. So, and if that is the case, then that brings up another discussion of how we can rise up and mentor other women to take those
Absolutely.
Places. Right. And so a true male ally, in my definition,
mm-hmm.
is if, in fact, there is or there are more men in a, or let's say there are men in a women's rights organization,
I think that a true male ally will be actively working on either mentoring another woman to take his spot in a women's mm-hmm. rights organization or helping to find one. So either mentoring one or finding one, because mm-hmm. that's how you become an ally, for me, in my opinion.
Right. Absolutely.
You make some really valid points, and I really appreciate everything you're saying this morning. I wonder if you could probably define yourself. How do you define yourself as an activist? What does activism mean to you?
It's going to sound so corny.
It's okay.
Oh, it's okay. My gosh. Okay. Somebody once told, and I don't know where the heck he got this from, but he said that I have a very bohemian spirit, but when you see me, you probably would never think that. But I really, activism is working towards making everybody get along. Mm-hmm. And I guess in some astrology people out there would say maybe that comes from me being a Libra. But I want everybody to get along, and I want everybody to have a voice, because I think that when I've visualized what is really happening with why I feel so sensitive about equality and justice, mm-hmm. the image that comes to mind is those historical scenarios where people are burning like paintings and scientific journals, these great people during, like in the genocide, you know, genocide events, you know, mm-hmm. in our history. Mm-hmm. And I think, gosh, that's what's happening when people, it doesn't matter, transgender, people of the LGBTQ community, Black people, Hispanic people, Latinos. I'm a Hispanic, non-Spanish-speaking woman. And I mm-hmm. get grief all the time from my community about that I don't speak Spanish. And mm-hmm. many times I've actually been left out of many of the conversations or events or meetings because they feel like I'm not Hispanic enough. And I'm like, gosh.
What?
You know, yeah. So why I'm bringing that up is because it's like burning those paintings, those contributions. When somebody is voiceless and you don't bring them on board or to the table or to the meeting, or you don't invite them, then it's like whatever I could have contributed from my perspective, what I have to offer from my experiences, you are mm-hmm. now preventing society from progressing. Scientific journals that were burned and the, you know, whatever mathematical, you know, formulas that never made it through to the other side. It's just the stifling of what could help our society progress. And that's bad. So it's not really, to me, a woman thing. It's mm-hmm. it's just a progress, a social progress thing. That's what it is to me.
Right. I agree. Well, we've, you know, talked about a lot of different issues and ways of getting involved and, you know, and making progress and sharing our voices and et cetera. Do you have any parting words that you would want to say to a call of action or anything that you would like to share?
Just that I think that camaraderie among women is so important. I think mm-hmm. that whether men show up or not, still have to focus on women's rights initiatives. Mm-hmm. We must, you know, because here's the thing. Historically speaking, we know that this is true, that women have been the backbone of many initiatives. I'm talking animal rights. I'm talking LGBTQ initiatives. I'm talking fracking. I mean, like all so many different things. We can go further back into history where women were licking the stamps and stuffing envelopes while the men were, you know, politicking and traveling and doing these things, which is great. I mean, you know, men have been doing a great job this, you know, keeping humanity or, you know, everybody alive and progressing. But I think that we women can contribute to that and we can make it even better. So I think that if now we're at the next level, a deeper level, I don't see the next level of feminism because I don't know how many levels that is going to be. But I'm saying that I think that it's important that we, get to the point where we're not just like stuffing the envelopes anymore. We need to say to ourselves, okay, I am not going anywhere to any cause until women's rights, until you guys come on board with us or we focus on what we need to focus on for women's rights initiatives. We need equal pay. We need the right to choose what happens with our own bodies. Let us women hash that out. You know, we already have enough problems as it is because of, you know, cultural, traditional, and religious reasoning that we have a separation among ourselves about what we can and cannot do with, you know, our bodies. But we don't need, to me, we don't need any extra opinions on that because we need to figure those things out on our own. Although, of course, I welcome and I think that it should be respected any opinions men would have to say as well. But I think at the end
just
of the day...
Just not dictated upon.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, good ideas can come from anywhere, but I'm saying the ultimate decision should be ours. And that being said,
right.
I think that if we can make it a point to say we are not going anywhere to any other causes until we focus on getting a nonpartisan, you know, handle on women having, like I said, equal pay, reproductive rights, and more of a voice in politics and in government. There is no reason why, I think, there's no reason why there shouldn't be a requirement for there to be 50% men, 50% women on every single judiciary committee, panel, whatever. We are 50%, if you look at the census, we are approximately 50% down the line. Why aren't our governmental structures shown that way as well? There's no reason why it shouldn't be. I mean, you know, while I'm not Republican, I'm saying that it is, it should be 5 men, 5 women, 2 women Democrat or three women Democrats, 2 women Republican, 5 men, you know, two men Republican, 3 men Democrat or however, but it still should be, you know, 50-50, women and men. There's no difference. And that's what I think we should all be working for. And we should leave all of the stand your ground and the guns rights and all of that stuff. I know it sounds like an awful thing to say because they all need work. But I think that if we get more women in politics and in government, then we would be able to affect the legislation that governs all those issues. Because right now, to me, I think, as I look around, we're still licking stamps.
Right.
We're helping those other causes, and those other causes are still majority decision-making majority male. So we're, like, chasing our tail. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we need to not be just behind the scenes. You know, some people are comfortable behind the scenes, and that's fine, but we need more voices coming up front and sharing their voices and sharing their stories and sharing their opinions, and so that we can all get together and, you know, try to figure out what it is that we really stand for, what are our
what is our direction? What is our focus? You know, all those type of questions, you know, so that we can lay it out. But until we hear stories from all different cultures and aspects, then we're not really weaving together a good quilt, so to speak. You know, we need to have that woven piece put into play. And that's why on the rally, we're encouraging to be very inclusive and of any, you know, background, you know, coming forward, you know, so that we can get that perfect weave, if there can be a perfect weave.
Yeah, and I do love the idea of at the rally. A lot of people associate rallies and protesting and stuff with Austin because of the, quote, keep Austin weird, you know, bohemian and all this, you know, hipster kind of people that they're people from
different parts. Yeah, we get a bad report on that.
I say, yeah, no, but, hey, that's good. Like, I like that. You know, I love Austin for that reason. But it's not just, they're not just people from Austin that are going to be there. And so I think that it's really a great idea to represent on their signs people that are coming from Houston. Houstonians are pro-choice, or TSU students are pro-choice, and people from Waco. Waco is wacko over pro-choice or whatever. I think that's a really good thing to represent for historical purposes, that people are coming from all over Texas and all over the world that are showing up for that. I do want to say one last thing. I did forget to mention this, is that in each city, I would like to challenge people to find out what events are going on. Like, you know, we mentioned the rally and the International Women's Day, things that have to do with dates, a Women's Equality Day. Find out those dates and organize stuff at the same time in your respective city. And on that same day, I'd love to see people post things, you know, Houstonians for women, you know, in Women's Equality Day. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and people in Austin, you know, for Women's Equality Day. Yay, Women's Equality Day. And we're all doing it so that our voice is really strong in Texas as a whole. That's one way to show solidarity, is to have things happening on the same day in the same fashion, you know, on you know, in the regarding the same cause, even if it's fracking, okay, or whatever it is. That's a great way to show solidarity.
Right. Absolutely. I do agree to get more women involved on all kinds of issues too. I mean, fracking. We need to rise and shine and share that we're involved. We want to be involved, and hear us roar. You know, we're there, and very involved with all kinds of politics. So yes, I totally agree with that. Well, I appreciate your time today. I think we've covered a lot of different aspects, and I can't wait to hear you speak at the rally. I think that's fabulous. And I can't wait to meet you in person at the rally, too. That'll be fantastic. We've talked quite a bit this month, and I just really can't wait. I know you're going to do a fantastic job there. Any way that people can get hold of you if they're further interested in things that you're involved with?
Well, I guess, I guess there's a Woman in Politics Type in Texas, Facebook.
Okay.
That's the only one of the ways that I guess you could get in touch with me, or people can. And please, I would hope that they would add to that conversation. It's my sad attempt to try to post things like the Texas Legislator online link and, you know, the different resources. I mean, I'm still learning too, so I would be learning from whoever would post on it as well.
Absolutely. We're all learning from each other. So, I mean, it's collaboration. collaborative work.
So, yeah. Well, I'm so glad. I hope that you have a fantastic day. Thank you for sharing this link. I encourage other people to share your link and others that we're having this month. We're having some fantastic guest speakers that are all involved with women's rights activism. And there's power. Mia mentioned about Power of One. We need to have more of not just Power of One, but Power of Many. You know, Power of One doesn't work too well. You know, you can be a who in Whoville, but you're not going to get that voice out until you've got more who's in Whoville shouting. So, same analogy.
I can't wait to hear her. She when she came out of the filibuster, because we were in like these different groups, what they're called affinity groups, and oh my goodness, she went right out and started an organization, you know, I think Women's Alliance and Leadership or something, and she just really blew up, got so many women together immediately, and she is a very powerful voice in what's happening, so I'm happy to know her too.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to meet everybody in person. I've been working on the planning committee with many of y'all, and just so excited about the enthusiasm behind this and the bonding that y'all created out of just going to the legislation capital and, you know, hearing the filibuster and that common thread. It's, you know, proven to be a really strong bond, and just really proud to be a part of this. So,
Yeah, and you know what's really neat and so fascinating when you're talking about proud to know various women that you're meeting is that I found out that that there are people so close to me that have been pioneering women in various organizations like LULAC and like the Hispanic, you know, different groups and organizations and the Tejano Democrats, and I'm like, I didn't even know this stuff existed. You know, so
right.
Like I told you earlier, I met people now that were burning bras and that paved the way for us, and they're still living. It's not like they're in the school books and our history books. They're still around right now, and that's another thing I would like to challenge people to do is find out who is a mover and shaker in your area, because.
Absolutely.
Believe me, they're there. There's somebody named Dolores Huerta, which is a Mexican-American woman that was alongside Cesar Chavez, but she doesn't often get referred to. Like, nobody knows who she is. But she was right there with him along the way, the whole way. And, you know, with the Farmers Union of Farm Workers Union and such, and you know, it's when I ask people, do they know who she is? They're like, no, I don't. And I go, do you know who Cesar Chavez is? And they're like, yeah, he even has a stamp. No, I was like, okay. Well, you know, she's still living, right? You know, she still does, you know, organizing and education rights for women and girls and kids to be able to have equal opportunity for education. She still does all that stuff. She's like 83 or 85 right now. And she's in California. And I'm like, wow, how did I not know about her? Thank goodness for an education, like college. That's how I learned about all of this.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and college is powerful. It changes a lot of people's lives. I was part of a group yesterday morning, Sunday school group, and they were talking about their child coming back from college even like 2 months later after going off, you know, for the first time and saying, who is this person? This isn't the same person. You know, it does transform lives, you know, by opening up towards a lot of different ideas and perspectives.
that are out there.
Well, I'm going to say thank you. Let me say thank you, because you are one of the people that we're talking about. You know, you started this radio blog. I guess you call it a radio blog, right? And you're giving an opportunity, a space for people, women, to talk about these things. And it's a great way to spread that message, to reach out to a wider audience. And I truly want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak here.
You're so very welcome.
It's a good prep for my speaking at the rally. So let's hear what people have to say about these ideas.
Absolutely. And I'm glad to do this. You know, I feel strongly about the mantra that I've had for the last 5-6 years of sharing your voice and being able to provide this platform for people to share their voice. And it's really exciting to be on the listening side of it as well, to really appreciate everybody who gets out there and get inspired by them, because, you know, they're taking that step forward that so many people are still afraid to take. And if we can reach even the people in the rural areas, or even one more person to get involved, I think we've done our deed. So thank you. thank you for coming.
And I didn't even know that there were women from, I'm so sorry, it's like the National Hispanic, let me see what their names are, but National Hispanic something women that passed through to go over to New Orleans in the Fifth Circuit and to protest the HB2 ruling at the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans. And I didn't even know about it. And I mean, fortunately, I have some very strong connections with very powerful feminists and male and our allies that are interested in, like, they're deeper connected. And, you know, everybody has different information. Some have the same, and some, you know, because some of the ideas overlap. But there's people who are following maternal mortality, and they, his name is Bill, and he is a really great advocate. Bill Lampert, he's a great ally and advocate of women's rights here in Houston, such as Amanda Hernandez. She's also another great mover and shaker here that, you know, if it was not for them, I wouldn't have learned about them going to the circuit. And these women came all the way down from South Texas. Why did I not know about that? That's the real question. Like, how did I not know that that whenever I go to these different rallies and I see I don't really see a lot of Hispanic or females, you know, they're representing. And we need to reach out to a wider audience. And I think we're doing that at the rally, which is really exciting. I can't wait to see who shows up. I know it's going to be bigger and better than last year.
Well, and encourage them to come on the show, too, so that we can help them to get their messaging out as well. Okay?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Sounds good. Can't wait to talk to you more, and I can't wait to have the other speakers this week. Oh, my gosh, we've got Laramie tomorrow and Penny on Thursday or Friday. Kayla, who does birthing on Wednesday, and Martha is on Saturday, who has become the president of the Caldwell County Democrat Party or something. Go look at her page that I created for her show to get the title right. But, you know, there's just so many different people coming on, and there's just so many different backgrounds and so many different viewpoints. But all with a common thread of being involved. So I love you for coming on the show, and I can't wait to hear the others as well. So thank you, and have a really great day, and enjoy yourself and pamper yourself and do something good for yourself, okay?
Oh, don't worry, I will.
Okay.
You have a good day, too.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And listeners, definitely come on and listen to the different shows. I really enjoyed listening to Melissa today. We've had so many good listeners, speakers, and be inspired by them. Listen to them. Take heed to some of the suggestions that they suggest, some of the calls to actions. And like Melissa was talking about, you know, we have so many different ideas and everything, but we do need to collaborate. We need to bring our focuses together and not be so individualistic to that we're not sharing our information. We don't need to all start from ground zero. We need to be able to share, collaborate, and move forward. Sharing ideas on researching, getting ideas about training on the Texas Online, and other aspects out there. There's so many different applications out there. Some may be even better, but we don't know until someone shares that information with us. So keep on being active, keep on sharing your voice, and keep on tuning in, connecting on the links for this show. So have a great day, and tune in tomorrow at the same time, 10 a.m., and to listen to Laramie tomorrow. Have a great day. Enjoy your day and keep it real. Keep sharing your voices. Have a good day. Bye-bye.